I'm excited to be here this morning. We are actually, we're entering a new sermon series, as was mentioned. The name of the series is called Parables of Life. I was thinking about that. I was actually talking to my brother, my younger brother. I was in Georgia a couple days ago. He's got that hurricane, just kind of never hit that area. And we were able to get there back. I took my daughter to go to her grandmother before the new baby comes, so that was an amazing trip. And I was sitting at that table talking with my younger brother, and he was asking, what am I going to preach on next? And I told him parables. And he said, well, kind of, what's your focus? Like, what is it? And I was thinking about it. You know, in the past, we've had focus like forgiveness or a new way to live or just different focuses like that. But I told him, and I said this, and I didn't even really know how to word it, but I'm just letting God speak through these parables. There's no central theme like forgiveness or grace or fruits of the Spirit or this is the way you should live or things like that. We're just kind of going to go through every parable, see what Jesus says to us through these parables, and let the Spirit of God work in you in the way that God wants to work in you. So, now, it's not that I don't have expectations, but I actually have high expectations. But my expectations are that God will do something, and that He will speak to you where you need to be speaking to. So, in that, we're going to be entering these parables, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do. God's already answered one of my prayers and one of my worries as I study this parable this week. So, I hope that He will speak to at least somebody in this room, if not all of us, through this parable. Well, so I was looking into, we're beginning a huge series on parables. It's kind of important to kind of mention like what parables is. Like, I'm sure that most of us know what parables are, but I was needing to do some research and kind of communicate to you like what a parable, maybe not everybody knows, but if you already know, just kind of bear with us, maybe a refresher. But I was looking through it and I was amazed and blown away by how many parables there are in the Bible. Now, some people define parables in different ways, so depending on how you define a parable, there are either 24, 33, or 60 parables. I don't know how like the experts came up with this number, but 23, 33, or 60 different parables in the Bible, given by Jesus in the New Testament. That's actually a big difference, but there's a lot of parables. Most of us are familiar with like a really popular, I don't want to say like famous ones, but the ones that perhaps you've heard over and over and over. They're really good, but they're ones like the prodigal son. Like, I believe that we've even done that recently in the past 5 years. Or the parable of the mustard seed, or like the parable of the lost sheep, where there's 99 sheep, and one of them wanders off, and Jesus goes after the one sheep. Maybe you remember the parable of the servant that went and invested. There were different servants, and they were given a different amount of talents. They went and invested in them. So these are parables of Jesus. Those are some of the more common ones, like some that you may recall or remember, or perhaps you have like a favorite one, or probably not going to cover your favorite one. Just to say your word. I really wanted to test on ones that we don't really talk about that much. Maybe there are some that you have talked about a lot, but I'm going to focus really on some of the parables that we just don't really talk about that much, and let God speak to us through that. So Jesus gives us these parables to teach us how to live. And he actually reveals heavenly secrets. We're kind of going to give it away a little bit, but we're going to see what Jesus says about this parable for this morning. I wanted to kind of expand your mind, kind of like I did as well this week, to let you see some of the parables of Jesus, just so we're all on the same page and that you're kind of blown away about parables as well. As much as I would, now I said that there's 24, 33, or 60 different ones. These are some of them. Some of them are repeated. Some of them are repeated in different gospels and maybe come at a different angle. So let me just mention a few of these. I'm not going to go through all of these. This is just so you know, this was the mind of Jesus. He was teaching parables to people, and this is the richness of teaching that we have from Jesus. He talked about the lamb, the speck in the log. We talked about that actually a while ago. The new cloth in the old garment. He talked about it by a kingdom, a sower. Like, he gave an illustration to his followers about tossing different seeds and weeds and birds coming up. And the parable of the mustard seed, remember that one. Parable of 11, Parable of the Hidden Treasure, one of my favorite ones, where he talked about one guy found a pearl in a field and sold everything to buy that field. Parable of the Pearl of the Prize, Parable of the Net, very interesting one. The Heart of Men, the Lost Sheep, the Unforgiving Servant, Laborers in the Vineyards, that's another interesting one. Marriage Feast or the Great Banquet, the Budding Fig Tree, the Parable of the Ten Virgins, the Talents. Like, these are all of the parables, and they're up here. You don't have to memorize them, but I just wanted you to see that this is Jesus. This is the way that Jesus is communicating to us through parables. Only one third of all of his teachings were parables. So this morning we're going to take a look at one of Jesus' parables. And it's not the most famous one, as I kind of mentioned, but I think that it's going to be just as impactful and meaningful to all of us, actually, as all of his parables. So this morning we're going to look at the parable of the weeds among the wheat, found in Matthew chapter 13. So if you'll pray with me, and then we'll dive into our scripture this morning. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, we are in awe of your teaching. Jesus, just your parables, your amazing, your secrets from heaven that you have revealed to us. We dedicate to you this next few moments, 30 minutes or however long we're going to be here. We dedicate to you, Jesus, that we open our eyes, we open our ears, we open our hearts, Father, that you will teach us, that you will show us your way, that you will reveal to us your heart, Father, in the heart that you desire that we have for one another and for you as well. Jesus, we dedicate this time. Keep us attentive to your word and just reveal your truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So I did think that it'd be kind of appropriate to talk about parables a little bit, give you a couple definitions so that we're all on the same page. I did look in a preaching record and saw that Pastor Vernon preached a whole sermon on parables back in July 16th, 2017. So I have an accurate reference. And if you would like a copy of that, I'm sure he'd be happy to send you some notes or a sermon or something like that. But he preached a whole sermon on parables. So that's very informative and very good. But I'm going to kind of summarize parables. I'm going to give you the whole sermon on parables. But what is a parable? I'm going to give you a simplified explanation of parables. So in the Bible, Jesus used all of these teaching methods, mainly primarily because he wanted us to get the message. He wants us to understand the message. So he uses all of these different teaching techniques. He uses allegories. Like, if you're a teacher here, you might like reflect on some of these. Jesus used allegories, metaphors, similes, poetry, rhyme schematics, and all of these other teaching techniques to share the gospel with the world. But Jesus also used parables. And he used this so that we would understand, like, so we would get the message, because he really wants us to get the message. One third of his teachings were in parables. So here's the question, what are parables? Let me give you a few kind of working definitions. This is one of the definitions of parables. Parables are simple and memorable stories, often with characters and imagery used to convey a message to the intended audience. So, like, we remember these stories of Jesus about the 99 sheep, you know, staying still and one running off. Like, we all, the message of the mustard seed, you know, these things that Jesus used so that we can remember, so that we can get the message. Jesus, he often used, like, these everyday items of life to convey deep and convicting messages. He chose, you know, just kind of looking at a few of these parables that I mentioned, we can see that Jesus uses, like, these common idols. For example, now they may not be common to us today, but these are the common idols of people he was talking to. He used seeds, coins, birds, trees, lamps, clothing, yeast. These are all the things Jesus used in the parables. Pearls, nets, sheep, wolves, servants and masters, sons and fathers, husbands and wives, rich and poor.
common items and things that we would know to get his message across.
I put it this way, Jesus was masterful at parables. In fact, he was the master of parables. And there's no other teaching like this in the world. Like, honestly, this teaching has been teaching people for thousands of years. Still thousands, 2,000 years later, we're still just in awe of these teachings by Jesus. So, in the 19th century, there was a theologian, a wonderful name, I love to try to pronounce this, but it's Frederick Gustav Mistel, and he wrote this book about parables of Jesus. This is how he kind of described the parables of Jesus. And he said this, he said, "The image borrowed from the visible world is accompanied by a truth from the invisible but the spiritual world. The parables of Jesus are not mere similitudes which serve the purpose of illustration, but are internal analogies where nature becomes witness to the spiritual world." By the way, is there an echo in my screen? Are you guys okay? That's okay, great. If you guys could turn off maybe the monitor if you're able to. I don't know if you're on. That would help me. Thank you. So all that to say, I like the last part. Key to his parables is where he used nature as a witness for the spiritual world. So Jesus is using like common things that we know. These are my words right here. Parables are an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Parables are an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So this morning, let's take a look at just a few of Jesus' parables. That sounds a bit better, thank you. So it's found in Matthew 13, 24 through 30, and then Jesus explains it to his readers in 36 through 43. So it's up here in the board. Let me read it here. Matthew 13, starting at verse 24. This is a parable of the weeds and the wheat. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. Then the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" And talking about the weeds. But he said, "No, lest in the gathering of the weeds, you root up the weeds along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And then kind of skipping a few verses and jumping into verse 36. "Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to Jesus. And they said, 'Jesus, can you explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field?'" Jesus answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. So the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous, they will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is a parable of Jesus, of the weeds and the wheat. How many of us are actually familiar with weeds? Like if you've actually pulled up weeds, like raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to invite all of you to pass the wheat herbs, and you're going to help out. Probably most of you have done this over the years. Probably you got this experience. My family is from, they were originally from Alabama, the middle, it's called Brewton, Alabama. This is the middle of nowhere, really. But my aunt, we say aunt in Southeast, but I guess we got to say aunt, my aunt. She is famous in her family for having a smart, is what I call it.
I visualize her on a riding lawnmower. Anybody have a riding lawnmower? Okay. Oh, nice. Some of you do. Awesome. So I visualize, she's always on this huge yard, and it's way too much for her. And so one year, she got creative, and she bought a bunch of goats. So, like, it was a legitimate, attempt to like get rid of all of the weeds and cut down the grass. And, well, I talked to my mom. This is a number of years ago that this happened. I talked to my mom on the phone, and my mom said, "You know, those goats that your aunt bought, like, they all died, and they were the little mini goats, you know, all those things. But they died because they ate some bad plants, some weeds, or something like that." And they just all, they, she came out, and they all had just fallen and they all died. It was so bad. Like, she felt so bad. But they had eaten, like, poisonous plants that were amongst her grass. And this is what I think of when I think about weeds. Like, weeds are just, like, nasty. They're just like an infestation. They're like mosquitoes. Like, anybody here like mosquitoes? Like, nobody likes them. They buzz in here. I was thinking about this. I don't know, I'm surprised that Jesus didn't write give a parable about bugs, because we all hate bugs, and they would be the villain. But in this parable, weeds are the villain. Like, they're the bad part. And nobody likes weeds, not even Jesus. So not even Jesus. Roundup should have probably used, like, a picture of Jesus in this parable. So in this heavenly wisdom, Jesus uses weeds, which are using something destructive, something annoying, something earthly, to teach a heavenly truth. And as you begin to, like, digest this, I know it's a long parable, but as you begin to digest this and take in this heavenly teaching from Jesus, I thought that I would save you a little bit of time and share with you some of the observations that I saw when I was reading this. Again, I don't have any direction that I was going to go as I'm reading this. I'm merely making observations, kind of seeing what Jesus wants to teach us. So these are some of my observations. You may have seen some other observations, but these are my observations when I read this parable by Jesus. This is the first one. Jesus really wants us to know and understand the message of this parable. Like, he wants us to understand this. He wants us to get this. So just before Jesus gives this parable, just a little bit of context to give you the reason why I saw this observation here. His disciples, they had come up to Jesus, and they asked him, they said, "Jesus, like, why are you speaking these parables?" I told you, like, one-third of Jesus' parables are, Jesus' teachings are parables. Well, his disciples came up and said, "Jesus, why are you giving so many parables? Like, you saw the list, like, it's pretty, it's a lot, right?" This is the answer that Jesus gives them. And this is very revealing. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. It's in Matthew 15. Then Jesus came and said to them, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And Jesus answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." So I would argue, from the content of Jesus' response to his disciples, that Jesus gave us this parable and all of the parables so that we would know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Literally, that's what Jesus is saying here. He's giving us, disciples of Jesus, why are you giving this parable? This is the reason why I'm giving you the secrets to the kingdom of heaven. And that's pretty cool when you think about it. They asked him why, and he gave them the answer. And this is what Jesus is telling us, that God came in the flesh to deliver a message in the person, and this is his message: "I want to give you the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." These are parables. This is why we have parables, to reveal the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Who here doesn't like secrets? Right? Not like gossip. Like, probably most of you like gossipy secrets, but like the good secrets. It's kind of like the Count of Monte Cristo type secrets, right? Like, you're in prison and somebody rightfully died tells you, "Here's the biggest treasure in the entire world," and X marked the spot. Well, that's what Jesus was doing. As he told us these parables is literally that X marks the spot. This is the secrets to the kingdom of heaven. This is the secrets to eternal life. This is the secrets to the meaning of life. This is the secret to the purpose of life. This is the direction. This is the secret to the end of the world. This is the secret to what happened before the world began. This is the secret to the kingdom of heaven. This is the secret of kingdom of heaven on earth. These are the secrets of the kingdom of heaven given in parables. And that's revealing. This is what Jesus said right before this parable. So I think this parable is extremely important, extremely amazing. So the first observation to make about this parable, and all of Jesus' parable for that matter, is this, is that God really wants us to get this stuff. And he even came in person to give us this secret, this message. Second observation I make about this parable is this, is that it reveals real spiritual truth. So as you read through this parable, it's extremely theological. Like, we could preach from this parable on and on and on. We could study this for weeks and months on end. So you can't help but notice, like, all of these different spiritual truths, like, in this parable. In this parable, you can see God's plan for the world, which Jesus said was a secret, but now I'm revealing it to you. You see God's plan for the world. You can see that God is planting and gathering sons and daughters for his eternal kingdom. You can also see in this parable the opposite side, that Satan is also planting seeds and sons and daughters for his own evil purposes. You can see that there will be a day of judgment, or as Jesus calls it in verse 39, the end of the age. That's theological right there. And you can see that God says that he will gather his sons and daughters, and that we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of heaven. These are all of the spiritual truths that God is revealing. He's saying that some of us will receive an inheritance, and he's also saying that some of us will be burned in the fiery furnace, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Like, he's revealing these things. This is the spiritual truth that Jesus is revealing to the world. Like, these are a secret that the world has not known up until this day. And Jesus literally came down from heaven to tell us these secrets. Another spiritual truth that is revealed, like, through this parable is the role of angels. I'm super fascinated. I think if you're a Christian or a believer in God, you should be as well. You should know, like, angelology. I don't know that word, but you should be interested in angels as well. Like, these are God's messengers, God's servants. And Jesus tells us here that the angels will gather both the good and the bad at the end of the age. So angels will play an important role at the end. This wants us to know that. I think I've only known that. This is just a few observations. Here's a third observation that we can see from this parable, that this parable reveals the way that God sees the world. This parable reveals the way that God sees the world. As you hear these words of Jesus, you realize that, or you see that God sees the world as a field. These are the earthly terms that God used to describe the world. The world is a field, and God sees himself as the owner of that field. And God tells us that he is planting and sowing seeds in this field. And God tells us that he's going to, at the end of the age, gather these seeds. Some he's going to put in a barn, and some he's going to put into a fire furnace. God uses this. And it reveals to us the way that God sees the world, and actually the way that God sees us. And then the last observation that I'm going to give for this, and again, there are a lot of other, for second time, I said consolidated down to four. Here's the fourth one that I saw when reading this parable, that God has his plan already laid out for the world. God has already planned out what's going to happen to the world. And that's what we're feeling. Again, this is Jesus revealing the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And this is kind of, I don't know if you want to say scary, revealing, truthful, but God gives us what's going to happen at the end. Like, he literally said that this is what's going to happen at the end of the age. I will do this. And God lays out his plan for the world, or his will. And he tells us, and he teaches us, and he assures us that he's already got to figure it out. And this should be comforting to all of us, that God has it figured out already. he's revealing it. This is what is going to happen. He also says that Satan may be at work. There may be weeds, and there may be sin, and there may be lawbreakers all around us, but God is still in control. This is the plan of God, that God has the world in control. This is his plan. And in the end of the age, in the end, God will gather his elect to something greater, where there will be no more weeds, or no more sin, no more lawbreakers. God has the plan. So these are the four things that I've observed. Maybe if you found other things, I'd love to hear. But these are just a few initial observations. So for the next few minutes, this is what I want to do. I want to spend the rest of our time this morning learning three areas of truth that Jesus really, really, really wants us to learn from this parable. So here are the three things we're going to look at for the next few minutes. First, the good news, then the bad news, and then our role in this parable. Like, what is it? How does this parable speak to us, to our own life? So this, let's begin with the good news. The good news is always good to begin with. So here's the first thing that is good about this parable. The news that Jesus is revealing. And God has planted many in the kingdom of God. Matthew 13:37-38, Jesus says, he answered them, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom." God has planted many in the kingdom of God. And this is a spiritual reality, a spiritual truth. It's actually, according to Jesus, a secret from the kingdom of heaven. But God is planting sons and daughters in the field, in the world, for the kingdom of God. And this is great news, that God is planting children, those who will inherit the kingdom of God. Another good news here is that the seeds in the field, in the hired hands, in the barn, are all owned by God. Remember I said, like, this parable reveals, like, the truth of God, like the way that God sees the world? Well, in this parable, everything is owned by God. The seed, the field, the hired hands, the barn, they're all owned by God. That's good news. Another good news is that the seed will be gathered into the barn. Now, the barn is heaven. I don't think heaven's a barn, but although I do like barns, but heaven's a little bit more glorious than the barn. But I'm comforted in that this person that I love will be gathered with God in the barn, and that I believe as well, because I'm a believer in God and in Christ, that I will be in the same barn. I get to spend eternity with this person. So God has come for me. I get to spend eternity with them. And so God spoke to me already through this parable. Maybe he'll speak to some of you through that testimony as well. But take heart that God gathers his elect, his children of God, into the barn. So another good news here about this, in this parable, is that the good seed, not the weeds, but the good seed will shine like the sun. And, you know, Jesus is just really kind of painting a beautiful picture using, like, earthly, or I guess the sun's not on earth, but he's using, like, imagery that we understand here on earth. And he says that in Matthew 13:43, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. This is a picture of what we're going to look like after we're gathered into the barn, right, in heaven. But we're going to shine like the sun. And that sounds pretty amazing to me. Like, I don't know if we're physically going to shine. Other books in the Bible actually talk about shining like that. So I think we might actually have some sort of brilliance to us. But it'll be glorious. It'll be beautiful. And this is the good news, that we'll be gathered into the barn with the Father, that we will shine like the sun, and that we'll spend eternity with God the Father, and also with our loved ones, that are children of God. So that's the good news. There's a lot of really good news, but here's the bad news here. This is the devil's at work in the world. And this is what Jesus says as well. Matthew 13:38, he says, "The weeds," he's explaining his parables to his disciples, and he says, "The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil." Now, this is Jesus giving, actually, the greatest amount of theology and teaching that we have on the devil is given by Jesus. And this is one of the teachings that Jesus revealed to the world. The devil is sowing seeds, or weeds, all throughout the world, and that that they're amongst us, you know, those that he sows. So let me give you like some titles and descriptions that Jesus gives of the devil, just so you know. I didn't put it up here on the board. I don't want to give him any more credit or anything, but these are the titles and descriptions of the devil, just so you know, like how bad this guy is. Some of his titles are the devil. You've heard Satan, or is another title given in the New Testament. Here's some other titles: the tempter, the ruler of demons. These are all titles given in the New Testament. Beelzebub, which literally means Lord, means Lord of the flies. The evil one, the enemy, liar, father of lies, murderer, ruler of this world, God of this age, angel of light. These are titles of Satan. Belial, you can say that, the defilements, the adversary, the roaring lion, angel of the abyss, dragon, old serpent, deceiver of the whole world, and an accuser of God's people. So these are the titles of the one that Jesus is speaking about here. That he planted these weeds in the middle of the night, and they grew up amongst us. I just want you to be aware that that's extremely bad news. And Jesus, don't take that lightly. You know, Jesus is revealing this to the world, that Satan is planting weeds amongst us. So that's just a challenge and encouragement to keep on your guard, that Satan is planting seeds all around us. Another downer, another bad news in this parable, this truthful parable Jesus reveals, is that there are weeds among us. Now, I have done a little bit of research on weeds beyond, you know, the testimony of my aunt, that weeds are just not good for anything. In fact, weeds, when on the surface level, they're kind of ugly, and it's, you know, it's hard to separate the weeds from the weed. And it's really hard, but down beneath the ground, weeds, their roots begin to intertwine and intertangle with the good roots of the wheat. They begin to drown out the wheat, and they suck up the moisture and nutrients that was designated for the wheat. And so the weeds are among us, and they're drowning out like the nutrients and goodness that God actually gave to provide for the wheat. So this is bad news, like the weeds all amongst us. And then lastly, here's another downer, another bad news that Jesus reveals in this, that the spiritual reality for some is weeping and gnashing of teeth in eternal fire. And this is the teaching of Jesus, and this is something that is it's a topic that we don't take lightly. You know? This is what Jesus said in Matthew 13:41-42. The Son of Man, this is the end of the age, the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Spiritual reality that Jesus reveals to the world is that some will be gathered, some will be considered weak. Some have been planted by Satan and Beelzebub, the devil, and they will be gathered and thrown into the fiery furnace. And as Jesus describes it, there will be weeping nationality. It's bad news, but this is spiritual reality, and there's a reason that Jesus came to deliver this, so that he could rescue people from this eternal thing. So this is the bad news that Jesus reveals. And then lastly, to kind of wrap up this parable, let me share with you your part in this parable. Like, what does this parable have to do with us today? This is what I see in this parable and how we can take part in this parable of Jesus. The first thing is to know the plan. Jesus very clearly reveals the plans of the world here. Now, Matthew 24, and the book of Revelation, and 2 Peter, and all these different books, there's a lot more detailed specifics about what will happen at the end of the world and the Antichrist. All the different things that are going to happen before the actual end of the age, as Jesus says in the parable. But right here, he's telling us that in general, that there's going to be a gathering of his elect and a gathering of weeds. And one will go to the barn or to heaven, and the other into the eternal furnace. And that Jesus actually will, that he'll orchestrate this and send his angels. So this is the plan. Like, know the plan, know what's going to happen. Another thing that we can take part in this parable, besides knowing the plan, is knowing what was not the plan. Like, as you notice here, you know, like, God says this, and this is really revealing. His angels asked him, he said, do you want us to go ahead and gather all the bad seeds and, like, burn them up before the end of the age? And what was God's answer? What was the Son of Man's answer? He said, no, because if you gather them up before the end of the age, you actually harm the good seed or the wheat. So I'm going to gather them all up at the end. So the no one was not planned is that we don't help facilitate plucking up the weeds. No crusades, right? Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's not our job to go pluck up all the bad weeds. That's God's job. God is the judge of this world. He's the ruler of this world. He's the judge of this world. He has a plan laid out. And within that plan is not us or anybody besides God plucking up those weeds. And that's not the plan. Another part that we can play in this parable is be prepared. In verse 25, actually in verse 24 and 25, Jesus said this. He said, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed a good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the weeds and went away. Now, some people have interpreted this like asking, well, were the angels sleeping and kind of let Satan do this, you know? And some people, there's been a lot of debate about this, but here's my take on this. I don't know specifically 100% what Jesus was saying, but I do know Jesus said that the Satan is crafty. Like, even the angels were keeping watch over the field, and God planted it, and God had a plan, but Satan came in the midst of the dark. In the darkness, when his angels were not even, or at least his the helpers of the field were, they were sleeping. He's crafty, and he can do this like in the midst of anything. And I think this could be the same for our life as well. You could be a son of God or a daughter of God. You could be in God's kingdom, but there, Satan could still plant like temptations. He could do things in the darkness, under the guise of darkness. He's crafty. He did this in God's world. So be prepared, you know, don't fall asleep, like keep watch. Jesus gave so many messages about that, like be ready. Keep alert, open your ears, open your eyes to spiritual things. And know your enemy as well as his craft. There's a couple more things actually. So our part in this parable is don't separate ourselves from the weeds, but let God do. And this has been a touchy one, like for actually at least 1,700 years in the church history. There was a period in the church where, specifically, there was a group of overzealous Christians called the Donatists, and they began to go in the church. This is around 300 AD. They began to go in the church and say, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?" And if you weren't, they kicked you out of the church. They called it what's called excommunication. So they began to say the church is only for the weak. And then another brilliant guy named Augustine came along about 350, 400 AD. And he said, no, that's not what Jesus is saying. Like, in fact, if you look at this parable, Jesus is saying that we should be, we're together. Like, God is going to judge. And like, we can't get this kick everybody out of the church who's not like a son of God. In fact, the church should be for those beacon in a city on a hill for those who don't yet know God. That we're not to judge. So that is the message. And Augustine went so far to say that a mixture of good and evil in the church is a necessary sign of the church. And Calvin and most of the reformers went on to follow. So the church is open to everybody. You know, we're not to separate ourselves from the weeds. That's not what God said in this parable. Like, we're to live amongst them and then let God, at the end, judge and do the separation. And then finally, the last thing that we can do, our part in this parable is this, and be persistent in asking Jesus to explain spiritual matters. If you know here in Matthew 13:36, it says this, the crowds, they left, and Jesus and his disciples, they went into a house. And his disciples, they came to Jesus, and they asked him, Jesus, can you explain to us the parable of the weeds of this field? His own disciples came to Jesus, and they didn't understand, but they asked Jesus to explain this to them. And this is my encouragement to you as well. Following the footsteps and examples of Jesus' disciples, and by the way, Jesus did explain it to them. And I believe that if you ask God through prayer, petition, through reading his words, through spending time with God, would you ask God specifically to explain certain things that he's going to answer you? He can answer you in all different ways. In prayer, he can ask you in your spirit, he can ask you by giving you a word, a message from the scriptures, from a brother, from a sister. He can audibly speak to you. I believe that God will answer you. But this is an encouragement to us to be persistent in asking Jesus to explain spiritual matters. You know, there's so many things that we don't yet know. And it's okay to ask God to explain it. You know, Jesus, talking about that first point, that Jesus really wants us to get this message. What if you don't understand it? I encourage you to go and ask Jesus in prayer to explain this to you. Because he really wants you, because he came all the way to earth to reveal the secrets from heaven so that we could get this message. So I'll end with this. By kind of summarizing this, that God has the plan, God will prevail, God wants us to be a part of this plan, and your part is this, ask yourself, are you prepared? Are you informed? Are you listening? Are your ears open? He who has ears, guys, are going to be open, are your ears open? Do you know, are you a part of this whole kingdom of God? And lastly, this is Jesus, this is one of his main points. Are you a son of God or a son of the devil? Jesus kind of puts it a little bit nicer, are you a weed or a beast? But later he explains it to his disciples. One is a son of God, one is a son of the devil. And if the answer is the latter, son of the devil, when Jesus offers salvation, he gave you this message. He gave you his love. He gave you the plans of the world from the beginning to the end. He gave you himself. And that's the message of the cross. After this parable, Jesus went to the cross. And he gave his life. And he paid for your sins. And he demonstrated the links that he's willing to go to make you into a child of God. You can't make yourself into a child of God. Only God can do that. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, as we enter the time of looking into your teachings and your parables, I pray that our eyes are open, that our ears are open to listen to and to hear this heavenly truth, the secret that you've come to reveal that was never known to mankind until now. I pray, Holy Spirit, that there is someone here that needs to hear this message, that you will open their eyes and ears. Jesus, we thank you for this message. We thank you for that you have a plan, that you have the world in your hands, that you know the ending. that your desire to gather us into the barn, to your heavenly presence, to shine like the sun, that you don't prepare a place for us, Father, that you called us to be with you, that you've given us everything that we ever need, Father, the gift of life, the gift of eternal life. And I pray, God, just thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice.